you missed your favorite show.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Looks like we're finally getting some good weather.
Yeah, we're getting some good weather, man. And as well we should. It's 6 months into the new year. And so it's about that time. But I want to get right at the subject for the first hour of the show. And never have I had a guest that I felt so comfortable with. We don't know one another, but we do know one another. This is the first time we've met, and I want to welcome to the studio and to the listening audience, Mr. Mike Bink. He is the president and Local 469 of the UAW, and he represents Master Lock. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great, and I'm very happy to be here.
Okay, let's talk about Master Lock. What is Master Lock?
Well, in 1921, the Sorfs patented the laminated padlock and never looked back.
That all of us probably have a master lock or have had one a couple times in our lives.
Yes, I told the company that our motto ought to be, forget your combination, lose your keys, we'll make more.
Right.
So they never went with that.
And so Master Lock, which has been a part of the landscape of an area in the city of Milwaukee, right off of, that's got to be, what, about 32nd?
Yes.
And Center Street. Tell us how long that facility has been there.
I don't know when the buildings started going up. They started out actually in the Pabst Brewery somewhere.
Right.
But the front of the building's Art Deco, so that might have been put up in the 20s. And it's actually a series of buildings joined together. There are little ramps you walk up where
right.
I don't know if they didn't get it right or didn't care, but things aren't at the same level. And I'm not sure how many square feet there are, but when we had 1,200 or so union employees there, we were jammed in pretty tight. But we were all pretty happy about that.
You know, the UAW, the United Auto Workers, wax nostalgic when we talk about the UAW, because the UAW was as powerful a union as there's ever been in this country. Is it safe to say that?
I believe so, yes.
You know, and the United Auto Workers and the power of what they were able to do and help other unions based on just the sheer organizing strength of the United Auto Workers and what they could do politically. They kind of helped control the conversation of what was being said in Washington, D.C., right? Is it safe to say that?
Yes, and the Ruther brothers, particularly Walter, it wasn't just about the people in the shop. He was very focused on social change. And we all know that unions, the job shops had to compete with our wages, with our benefits. So it really did help. Though when the country had 30% or 33% of the workforce in unions, many, many more people, many more cities, whatever, benefited from that.
So let me run these numbers down quickly for those in the listening audience. I live in Milwaukee, and so in 1970, I was 16 years old. But the 10 largest employers in the city of Milwaukee, again, Milwaukee was called the machine shop of the world. of the entire world. We had more manufacturing in the city of Milwaukee almost than they did anywhere else in the world. And so the top 10 employers was a company called Alex Chalmers. There were 11,500 employees. And what you need to understand is these people made strong middle class wages. Every one of these plants we're talking about, anybody who worked there made a middle class wage. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah.
Meaning you could purchase a home, you could save enough money to send your kids to college, buy a new car, save some money, vacation, enjoy the American dream.
I was going to say the long forgotten American dream.
Every one of these jobs provided that. A. O. Smith, my company for 34 years, was number two, 8,000 employees. Briggs & Stratton, 7,400. AC Electronics, later on AC Delco, 5,000 employees. Harness Vega, 4,400. American Motors, 4,300. Slitz Brewing, 2,800. Pabst, 2,600. Miller Brewing, 2,400. So let me just paint a picture of what it was when I was a young boy graduating from high school. I followed my dad into A. O. Smith, and I was scheduled to go to a university. And I went to A. O. Smith for what I thought would be the summer. And my dad told me, don't come out here. He couldn't explain to me, hey, you're going to get this money. It's really going to change your life. So you need to go if you go on to college and those kind of things. I remember coming out to A. O. Smith, and I had an interview at 9 o'clock that morning. And the guy who interviewed me said, "Can you start tonight?" That's the way it was.
Yeah.
Right? Any of these plants, it would have been the same thing.
That's so typical of the factories in the city. One generation followed the next. My father worked at Master Lock Company for 35 years. Started in 1959.
Wow.
And when Master Lock decided to do an early out, he said it's noon too soon to leave because he had done his time in
there. Right.
But it's always been a good place to work because of the people in it.
So my point is that was manufacturing. That's what the city was. Our city was vibrant. Milwaukee was one of the cleanest cities in the United States. There were no cracks in the street, no cracks in the sidewalks. Everything was clean because manufacturing paid its fair share and was involved and connected with the community, right? The patriarchs of those companies sat on the boards, and they knew their involvement in the neighborhoods and in the communities.
Up until we downsized, our plant was...
We meaning Master Lock.
Master Lock, excuse me. The local leadership on the company side participated with us in all of the things we did in our community, from bringing the second graders from Clark Street School over for breakfast with Santa, Ronald McDonald House, making dinners for the families there, working with women's shelters and food banks. Once we downsized, that all changed.
So let me quickly go here, and then we'll move into why you're here. So when I talked about the 10 largest employers in 1970 in Milwaukee, they were all manufacturing, every one of them. So let's contrast it to the 10 largest employers in 2021 in Milwaukee. Advocate Aurora Healthcare, $29,934. That's healthcare. That's not manufacturing. That's a lot of people, 29,000 people. But when we talk about what they pay in the way of wages, you'll see there's a big difference. Freighted Healthcare, $13,798. Ascension Healthcare, $10,449. Roundy Supermarket, $7,800. Medical College of Wisconsin, $6,100. GE Healthcare, $6,000. Quad Graphics, $6,000. Rockwell Automation, only one manufacturer, that's 5,500 people. Children's Hospital, $5,300. And Kohl's, $5,300, $5,500. I don't know. Probably the only one of all those companies that we mentioned that have a union is probably Rockwell. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, I believe so, unless Roundy's.
And, well, Roundy's, I don't think they do.
Okay.
Right, I don't think they do. But the fact of the matter is manufacturing has disappeared from the landscape. And it's not a coincidence that the amount of money people are making hourly has not been able to keep track with the cost of living in any of those things since manufacturing left.
Not even close. Dead air. Across the street where Briggs was, I know people that used to work there. Different factories around the city. The UAW used to have a much bigger presence in Milwaukee. I can speak to about the early 80s. When we used to fill a room with different locals at our political organization meeting. And now we're down to Unit Drop Forge, a segment of Miller, Master Lock. I might be forgetting one, but I think there are only three or four in the Milwaukee area anymore.
So hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Mike Bink. He is the president of UAW Local 469 of Master Lock, and we're here to talk about just the realities of today. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Mike Bink. He is the president of the UAW Local 469 of Master Lock. And Master Lock announced, has it been, what, a week or so ago?
About a week, yes.
That they were going to be leaving Milwaukee after, I don't know how many years, man.
Approximately 102.
102 years, and in the midst of that will be, I don't know what, 400 or so union workers.
330 union.
330 union workers who will be left in a tough situation. I know. I walked in their shoes, and it is very uncertain future. For people who did all they could, and did you see it coming?
In retrospect, we saw more work, more of our product. We don't make locks in the plant anymore. We make parts. And more of those parts were being shipped to Mexico. So, yes, we saw the signs of it. We weren't losing any membership at the time, but some of the departments started having less work. Some of that was due to processes. New processes were not equipped to do, but a lot of it was we don't have enough equipment to make the parts. Our equipment is far from new.
Plan is obsolete.
Yes. That's
as far as technology is concerned?
Yes. It's very, they would tell us, it's very expensive to replace that. And I imagine that's right. But it's also a decision by the corporation not to invest in this plant.
You know, you know, again, this brings back memories to in my life in the destruction of people's lives. What can't be missed in all of this is the human damage, right?
Yes. We provide very good jobs. People can come into the plant in an entry-level position, and we do make them, we torture them a little bit. They pass the Accuplacer, which is the state apprenticeship exam, but at a lower level. But they could be making as much as $30 an hour running a piece of equipment. And they go in with really no idea how to run it. The training programs are between 6 months and a year long, and they've got a very good job.
You know, $30 an hour. Did you hear that, Calvin? Walking in off the street and making $30 an hour. And then there are benefits that go along with that. And so, you know, for people who say, man, they're making that much money and they don't have any skills, well, that would not be true, would it?
No. The people who enter these programs, we're developing their skills. It's similar to an apprenticeship program where we're one generation trains the next, and that's how businesses are sustained. To say it's not a skilled position, when you start, it's not. But you have to learn. Some of these machines are 40 feet long, three different processes within that, and they're not new machines. You have to learn all the idiosyncrasies,
right.
The different ways it'll torture you by breaking something you've never seen before. It's your job to fix that and move on.
So, you know, I had a PhD in the plant in the company that I worked for because I could operate almost all the machinery over my 34 years. There weren't many people who could operate almost all the different machinery, but I could. And that was an added value. And so when people would say, well, you know, you don't have any letters behind your name, I would say, okay, well, you know, if you put somebody with letters behind their names to do the kind of work and operate the kind of heavy equipment that I was operating, they would not be very successful. We have letters behind our names and what we did, and were almost impossible to replace in what we did in industry, and so it was easy for people to dismiss that, but it wouldn't be true, right?
Right. We have letters behind our names. Ours are UAW, and a lot of the companies don't give benefits. They don't give good wages. It's a process. Our company struck two times, 1974, when I was way too young to be there, and 1980, shortly after I started. And it's a tool that's coming back into the toolbox, and it's
frightening again.
The strike, yes.
Yes.
And no company and no union wants to be on strike. We want to be able to come to an agreement that's fair for both the workforce and allows the company to continue.
So let's do this. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Mike Bink. He is the president of UAW Local 469 and Master Lock. We'll be right back. You can text us that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Bink. He is the president of UAW Local 469 and Master Lock, a company that has just announced that it is going to be closing shop in Milwaukee, a plant that stood for over 100 years. And Mike, what are the rationale for what Master Lock is using to say that they have to leave?
I glanced at their press release or whatever it is once, and they say that something about their supply chain, optimizing that. It all boils down to making more money somewhere else than they are here. They can talk about their supply chain, and we know it's been an issue, but we're making it work. The people in the plant come to work every day, do their jobs. And there was a short hiccup where we couldn't get, you know, what we needed on time. But that's all ironed itself out. Bottom line is the corporation wants to do things that will profit a very few very rich people. And they're not really that considering what it does here in Milwaukee.
So, you know, people who live across the state and who are listening from across the state know this story with the paper mills. They experience the same kind of thing. They've watched their lives be turned inside out and upside down with decisions that have been made by people who are more concerned about the bottom line than they are about people. And so I constantly get into gripes with people, some people who call here who want to see it from the company's perspective. And yes, you know, these people own the company. It is theirs. And so the other people work for the companies. But what I've always said is, yeah, company wouldn't be where it was if it wasn't for people who made the company what it is, right?
Right. Master Lock's got a very good name as far as product identification. There's investment that goes along with that. But that's the people on our shop floor making sure that, historically making sure that no bad product goes out. There are problems with every process that we do to make our product, and it's our job individually to make sure that that's, you know, we're always delivering quality. Otherwise, we know we wouldn't be here.
You know, this is just a true statement. had my company never left, people wouldn't know me from being on the radio. I would still be with the company. At least, I mean, I think I left there at 52. But I would have still been with that company until I was in my 60s. But because of, you know, the closing of that company, it forced me to get in and do something different. But I'll tell you something. My years there were the best years of my life because it helped me financially be able to afford to raise a family and to do a lot of different things, which is part of what is not taking place in this country today. That's at the root of what happens when they take these jobs out of this country, and the people who suffer are the American people. I remember when they began to take these kind of jobs out of the country, and they said, well, the American people are going to benefit because there'll be cheaper prices.
Cheaper prices come from cheaper products. And I guess you want cheaper products if you don't have a good job. You steal the jobs. When I came to the plant in 1979, the neighborhood around Master Lock, the Sherman Park,
those homes,
tree-lined streets,
yes,
kept up homes. Well, when the jobs went away, so did home ownership. So did many things that make a community strong.
So to embellish more of what you just said is. Those jobs, the people walked to them. That neighborhood, those homes were owned not by some guy who bought up 500 houses. They were owner-occupied. And those little bungalows were owned and proud of by the people who lived in the neighborhood and in the community, which was the way it was where I worked.
By people that worked at Briggs,
yes,
at Master Lock, at Perlick, at Milwaukee Brush, at Geyser's Potato, right, Chips, all around the area.
Yeah, and so it helped kind of take away, as people look at the impact that these things have had, what we want people to understand in this conversation is the importance of unions. Out of all of this, what's at the root of it is the fact that all of those benefits that all of us had for all of those centuries in some cases was the fact that there were organized labor. Companies didn't decide to do the right thing. They were forced to do the right thing.
Well, they eventually learned what the right thing was.
Right.
Miller Brewery, I went to their 125th anniversary, I don't even know how many years ago. Our local union is since 1937.
Yeah.
Okay.
Harley Davidson.
Yes. I've been through negotiations since the first one was 1986. We had at that point, it was 6 years after our strike, we had a very good working relationship with the company. We were to the point where our union leadership would go with company leadership and teach other labor management groups the steps to get to trust each other. Okay. And that was very important. That's when we were doing more in the community with the company, but that all changes when the structure of the relationship changes because the corporation came in and decided that we needed to move our assembly operations down to Mexico, that we would buy more product from China. That we would, instead of having 1,150 people in a plant, we would have 225 at one point. The decisions that changed our plant didn't come from Milwaukee. They came from the corporate headquarters.
Well, just think about it. You used some verbiage that is you rarely even hear anymore, and that's negotiations. For what people are going to make on a job.
Right.
That is just, you know, how often do you ever hear people talking about we, the people who work for a facility, are in negotiations with the company to make sure that we get our fair share. That's a lost conversation. Negotiations rarely happen.
Right. What power do you have if you walk up to your boss and you say, look, I'm outproducing everybody else. I'm doing a good job. I come to work every day. I'd like a raise. No, go back to work. Okay. We participated back before the downsizing. When we negotiated, we understood. Both sides understood. We're trying to grow a plant so we could employ more people and sell more product.
And more profit for the company.
You bet.
We're not unmindful of that.
And when we shook hands at the end, both sides did their job. We represented our people. The company represented the corporation. And at that point, we shook hands and we trusted each other. And if we didn't get it right, we'd go back in 3 years and do it again. But when you're not represented and you don't have the power of your whole workforce behind you, you walk in the office, and I talk to people who've come from job shops in our plant, and they are very happy to have what we've got. They don't have to have that stress of trying to keep up with inflation and everything else. Not that we have. It's been harder and harder as the years go on.
So what people really need to understand is, at the root of all of these things is the destruction of the union movement in this country. You and I remember a time when over a third of this country belonged to unions in my lifetime. And so I was at a community meeting last night in my city, in the city in which I live, and we were talking about what used to be. And in this conversation about what it was as opposed to what it is now was kind of over the heads of people who didn't live during those times, and they could never even imagine of this grade that you and I both have takes us to a place where we can wax nostalgic about what it was, right? And then you contrast that to what people have to deal with today, and you understand why things are the way they are
today. Not
lack
even,
of unions,
right? Right, exactly. And it's odd that there are lack of unions when approximately a little over 70% of people polled in the country are in favor. You would think that we'd have a little easier job organizing workplaces. I think when people from the outside look in, they're in two camps. One are, I'd like to be part of that. Okay, and the other camp is, I don't even know what. Why would you not want better wages, a voice in your workplace? The people on our shop floor, when we negotiate a contract, they're not asking us to bankrupt the company. They're asking us to, they've always asked us to do a job, provide wage and benefit gains, working condition improvements, while we are sustaining our workplace.
So do you foresee a time that unions will play a more prominent role once again in this society, or do you think that, and clearly, you and I were talking about the fact again that one third of the country once were unionized, and now 7% of it is unionized, and if you look at private unions, it's even less than that. Do you ever foresee a time in the future where unions will play a more prominent role?
That's an interesting question. So if 71% of people in the country favor union organizing rights, then the will of the people should eventually become the law of the land. But there's not a straight line to that. When people want something to happen, and clearly in Wisconsin, representational government has taken a few hits.
Right.
So things have to change. We've got to I mean, politics, it comes right down to, if you want something and the people you elected to represent decide to rule instead, they need to go.
All right, listen, got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Out where dreams come true.
It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Mike Bink. He is the president of the UAW Locals 469 of Master Lock in the city of Milwaukee. And they have been given basically a death sentence, excuse me, that by maybe this time next year, that plant, which has stood there for over a century, is going to no longer be there. And the lives of all of those people are going to be impacted in a tough way, and the people who live in that community who are struggling now to try to bring that community back to life are going to take another hit. So Mike, what is it about a nation that has failed to understand and learn the lessons of the past, from looking at manufacturing leaving our shores? I said to you earlier, Germany, I remember as a young man, our major competition was Germany and their manufacturing. And Germany never gave up their manufacturing, but the United States gave hers up. Mexico, China, they took the jobs overseas, and so the American people, unless you worked in those jobs that left, never even understood what transpired. Our nation has never recovered, and the middle class, as you and I once knew it, has dissipated, and it's dissipated because union-paying jobs and manufacturing left our shores.
Well, that was enabled by people look at the union jobs, and I tried to express this before, maybe not very effectively. How come you get paid that much?
Yes.
And, you know, why don't I get paid that much?
Yes.
So they elect people. We've elected people as a society that have allowed the work to leave. That was a decision backed by big money that we'll never know.
And power tricksters.
Yes.
Right.
People who we elect that don't always do what they say they might. It's hard to look back and see that we'll get back what we had.
Right.
But I have to be an optimist. I don't think I could sit as president and not think in my plant that we can make things better. And the work that I've done with the UAW politically, I couldn't do that if I didn't think we could make things better. I think we can make things better, but I don't know if it'll be while I'm on the right side of the daisies. It's a process. What did it take to build the labor movement in the first place? It took generations of people,
yes,
sacrificing to make it happen. But people understood how mistreated they were when they went to work, that they could be fired at the drop of a hat. Okay? Now there's, you have to get terminated, there's just cause or there's not. But it took generations to make it happen. So we've got, if it's going to happen again, I guess we need to educate, motivate, agitate, not only in our workforce to get people who've entered our plants and don't know what a union does, to our friends and neighbors. Have them understand once again that, you know, we were the envy of the world when we had the middle class.
No question.
And why we would take what worked in the U.S. to other countries and then abandon what worked here, that was for all the wrong reasons.
So some may say, well, what are you crying about? There'll be severance packages and everybody's going to be treated fairly.
That could be and I believe is the intent of the people we work with in the Milwaukee facility. But they don't have the last word. The decision's made on what will be offered, at what levels, for what period of time in the plant, come from somewhere else. So we don't know how fairly people will be treated. That's our job. That's the executive board's job to do everything they can to make that happen. But what's a severance package? That's no matter how it's months maybe of insurance. It's walking away from on the low end right now. I believe it's about $17 to $19 an hour, which you can't get everywhere. To the our mid-level jobs, the $28 and $30 an hour jobs. The few skilled trades we have in the plant are probably going to land on their feet.
Yeah, right. They're skilled trade.
Right. But the people running heat treat diecast.
And plus the other part of this is you're not exactly in negotiations dealing from a position of leverage when they've already told you they're shutting the plant down.
Correct.
In essence, there's a gun to your head. And, you know, what can you do?
The best we can. We have to rely on, and go back to the people that work for that plant made the good name for that plant. I don't know that matters to anyone in the corporation, but people have, I work a lot with our retirees. They're very proud of it. Okay. That's still their plant. Up until COVID, I had a standing meeting. Invitation to go meet with the senior management officials who ran the plant from the early 80s until we downsized. That was their meeting to talk about their stocks, but they wanted to bleed me for information about their plant because they still felt it was their plant. You know, they were still invested in
so,
that.
So listen, Mr. Bink, it's been a walk down memory lane for me in my life, and the parallel is so close to my life, and I know what people are feeling, the anxiety that they are feeling right now as their futures are so uncertain. So I enjoyed the conversation. I'd love to have you come back because it's a part of the history of this country that it's lost. And it's your and my responsibility to make sure that it never stays lost, right?
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
And thank
you. It's been a pleasure. We'll certainly do it again. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.